by beating a capacious blue sofa pillow, over which the pines scampered in fantastic white lettering, filling the room with the spicy fragrance of the pine needles brought from the campus of the boarding school from which she had just graduated. The airy words and determined manner were both characteristic of Betty, for she did everything with huge enjoyment, combined with thorough earnestness. "Betty, you alarm me," her mother said, laughing. "Your energy is misspent on such a warm day." Betty gave the pillow a final pat, then smoothed it out and stood it behind her straight back. "I have always dreamed of doing something, and it makes it more real when I pound a little." From the way Betty said "something," you could easily see that had the word been written, it would have had a large capital S and a few flourishes, too. "What are you thinking of doing?" asked her mother, seriously, yet smiling. Mrs. Baird usually entered into Betty's differing moods. That she could readily do, for she found every mood more engaging and lovable than the last. Betty was silent for a moment, apparently lost in deep consideration of the different pursuits opening before her. She swung her feet lightly, gazing contemplatively at the peeping tips of her white tennis shoes and rumpling her bright hair with a distracted hand. "There is literature," she suggested at length, looking at her mother gravely, and she began to count off on her fingers the various occupations that came to her mind. "At the Pines, you know, I was considered good in composition, and my graduating essay, well, you heard how the bishop himself spoke of that." Betty endeavored to speak meekly, but her brilliantly reminiscent smile was full of gratification. "Yes," said her mother, smiling and nodding. "Yet is not 17 somewhat young for authorship?" "In all the range of literature," began Betty grandly, with a comprehensive sweep of her arm and her sweet voice deepening. Then she laughed. "Oh, how grandiloquent! There is evidently the making of a prig in me." Like most girls of her age, Betty, perhaps, would have taken herself too seriously but for her saving sense of humor. Then, too, at boarding school, she had lived with girls who had not hesitated to destroy openly and ruthlessly her pet conceits and to laugh derisively at her many poetic flights. Very little escaped their wholesome give and take. Mrs. Baird folded the dainty tea towels she had been hemming and leaned back in her low sewing chair. "Possibly, Betty, your sense of humor is carrying you too far, and now you are not taking yourself seriously enough. To accomplish anything, we must believe in ourselves, in our call, and in our work." Betty opened her eyes wide. This sounded more like her clerical father than her reserved mother. "Now, Carissima, it is my turn to be alarmed. I can't imagine myself with a call. As for my work, it is anything that happens to turn up." "People are happiest, Betty, who have consecutive work, and plenty of it. Your father says you should take things as they come, and of course that is the best plan, but I think you will not be contented long without something definite. I am teaching you to keep house, but with your quickness you will find yourself with a good deal of time on your hands, especially on this Long Island farm where you are a stranger. You do everything with a rush. Here you have finished your 6 towels, and I have still one of mine to hem." Mrs. Baird picked up Betty's little pile of blue and white barred tea towels and scrutinized the stitches. "They are neatly done." "Of course they are," laughed Betty, throwing back her graceful shoulders in burlesque pomposity. Yet under the merry challenge of her sweet, willful eyes looked confidence in her untried powers. "What can't I do? But I simply hate to sew." Betty finished by making a comic little grimace, though a glimmer of satisfied pride crept into her face at her mother's praise. "After all, it is pleasant to do a thing well, and to be told so. You have a great capacity for love or hate, Betty, child, judging from the number of things you hourly hate and love," said Mrs. Baird. "But I am not through my lecture. At Weston you had so many friends that you could easily fritter away half of your time. Now you are old enough to appreciate that time is a gift, and that you are responsible for it."